Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. I've got a fact and figure for you here. Allergies are the sixth leading cause of chronic illness in the U.S., and asthma affects more than 24 million people. And our guest today can talk a little about that, at least from a couple of perspectives. Robin Wilson is with us. She's a nationally recognized eco-friendly lifestyle brand and interior designer. She has 20 years of experience advocating for clean construction and design methods. Through her design firm, Robin Wilson Home, she's also the author of two books on the subject. One of them I have right in front of me. It's called Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. I've really enjoyed going through it. So as we talk with her, do you think your allergies or asthma are being caused by your home or things in it? What would you like to know about making it easier to breathe there? I'd love to have you part of the conversation. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Robin Wilson, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us. Maybe you could start just by talking about what clean design is, how you define it.
Well, I define clean design as recognizing that your home or where you live is your sanctuary, and it's also an ecosystem. So what you bring into that space, whether it's your shoes that have not been left at the foyer because they're dirty from the outside, or the chemicals that you use to clean your space, or even the furnishings that may have certain chemicals on the fabrics. Those are all things that you need to be aware of so you don't live in a chemical factory. you know, we don't think about that, right? But you really need to know what's in your space so that you are living the healthiest wellness space that you can.
Yeah. So there are some advantages of this type of design, I think, that maybe that people don't always recognize. I think you pointed out one or two there.
Right.
Any others?
Well, you know, the top, there's a, in my book, Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle, on page 168, there's the top 10 asthma and allergy triggers in your home are tobacco smoke, pet dander, mold, pollen, dust, your clothing, especially if you get them dry clean, some cleaning supplies, vermin, odors, and wood smoke. Now, those are all things that every home has, or some, at least one or two of those things. And what we need to know is that wheezing and sneezing is sometimes a form of inflammation. And especially in this COVID time, we need to be healthy. And we don't need our bodies to be working extra hard just on a day-to-day basis to be okay. And then we get sick, and then we're just really not okay. So we need to really clean our homes and try to get us to a place where we're not as inflamed.
Yeah, and, you know, this day and age right now with COVID-19, we're spending so much time at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think it even makes maybe even more critical to be doing these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we also talked about recently was a lot of people have an allergy to something like ragweed, or in Texas, which is where I'm from, we talk about cedar fever. You know, you walk outside and you start wheezing and sneezing because there's just something in the air. And what so many people don't realize is that the same pollens that are in certain grasses and trees could also be in your fruit. So imagine you're wheezing and sneezing outside, and then you come inside and you have a piece of fruit that you think is just fine, and now you're sick. So again, clean design, page 102. If you're allergic to ragweed, you may also be allergic to bananas, cantaloupes, honeydew, or watermelon.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, because it's amazing. The same pollen profile, and even the tea, chamomile tea, is the same pollen profile. And so during those times when ragweed is high and you're wheezing and sneezing, you might want to avoid those other triggers that could again, inflame your body and make you lower your immune response.
Yeah. Kiera in Milwaukee has a question or comment, I believe. Kiera, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's on your mind?
Well, I have, you know, several environmental allergies, such as ragweed, pollen, mold. And I'm wondering, I look at, like, an allergy specialist website, but it's not, I'm wondering how accurate that is, or if you have any other ideas for where to get good information on both allergens outside the house and inside the house. Does the CDC or you know, Environmental Working Group, like, provide, like, a good website, or what's your opinion?
Okay. Well, I actually am an unpaid ambassador for the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. It's a free website. They've been around 50 years, and they have all sorts of information, from basic statistics, like 1 in 5 people suffer from asthma and allergies. That's 60 million Americans. They have details about different things that you can do when you travel, things that you can do at home, and products and companies that adhere to asthma and allergy-friendly protocols. You could also pick up a copy of my book, which is Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. I published it in 2015. It was number one on Amazon as well as the Kindle. And on page 106, I'd recommend you check that out. It has, if you're allergic to ragweed, birch pollen, or grass pollen, here are some things you may also be allergic to.
Wow. A lot of things there. And I appreciate your call, Kiera. Thank you so much. And the name of that organization that you're affiliated with, again, is?
It's the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. Their website is aafa.org.
All right, Kiera, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Dale in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Dale.
Good morning. Say, it's an interesting list that she has, and from years of just observing others who have had problems, since allergies do exist in my family, that those things are things that people don't think of. And I've also had an amazing number of people whose pets are a problem, but they love the pets so much they're willing to put up with it. My question would be is, how does one scientifically determine if a treatment or a condition or a method of doing something is actually helping? Because there may be multiple triggers. And in my family alone, my brother, for instance, bought a whole bunch of ozone generators to try to clean the air in his office. And just walking into work on his computer, immediately was affected by the ozone, which was purported being a cleaning agent, but it was actually very irritating. But worried that people will spend tremendous amounts of money and time chasing things that are promoted by those who really don't have scientific backing. How do you know with something that's this diverse? What would you suggest to people?
Yeah,
well,
Dale,
again, I think that's a phenomenal question, Dale. I agree with you. There are a whole bunch of charlatans out there who promote things that are just going to take a dent out of your wallet, and you're still going to be wheezing and sneezing the next day with some tears probably melted in. So one of the things I tell people is I'm not a doctor, but I do tell people that when I was a child, I was panallergic, and that means I was diagnosed as having allergies to food, to pollen, dust, smoke, as well as what they call the environmental triggers. Like the if someone were had a pet and I walked into their house like a cat, I would have a reaction. So I come to this authentically from Austin, Texas, where you could be wheezing and sneezing outside because of pollen, and in the 70s. If you had shag carpet or your pet inside or people smoked inside, you could be wheezing and sneezing inside. And we had a wonderful doctor, pediatrician, who said you can raise a strong child or you can raise a child on strong medicine. His belief was that you need to exercise, you need to get strong lungs, you need to make sure that you eliminate almost every trigger and then build back up. So my parents took out the carpet, the shag carpet, and we had tile and hardwood floors, and the house was cleaned regularly. My mother went to, and I want to tell you again, I hate to refer to this book so much, but it's a compendium of it, good information. So we used basic cleaning products like the baking sodas and the lemon and the toothpaste and the vinegar and cleaned the house, because clean does not smell like a chemical. It's just clean. We also, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't do anymore, they had flip covers that you could wash. And so those were washed regularly. One of the biggest goals in your home is to, you can't take away all the allergens, but it's to limit your exposure to them, because those triggers are what cause the inflammation response in your body. And everyone is different. So it's a catch as catch can. One of the things most people don't do, and this is kind of the funny moment, is they don't change their pillow and they don't wash or replace their pillow. And so imagine every night your cortisol levels go down at about 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's when most people end up in the emergency room. So I would tell everyone, there's a rule of threes. Every 3 weeks, wash the zippered pillow cover that is over your pillow. Of course, every week you're washing your pillowcase, right? And then every 3 months, actually wash the pillow. Put some tennis balls in there when you're drying it so they don't get mushy and bumpy. And then every 3 years, if you haven't done that, then replace the actual pillow. Most people don't realize, but the average time that an American will keep a pillow is at least 6 to 8 years. Now, that pillow by that time weighs more than when you bought it. So that's drool, that's pollen, that's hair, that's whatever else goes on your pillow. And that alone can change your life. But I recommend down alternative pillows, down alternative comforters, because, again, in the down itself, you might have a trigger just to that duck feather, even though they've been cleaned.
Yeah, I could hardly believe it when I read that in your book. I looked at my pillow and I thought, well, let's see, when did I get this pillow?
And you probably got it in college, right? it was a gift for graduating from college. So to Dale, I just want to say, go to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. They are a not-for-profit. They do not accept solicitations. They are they certify companies who really do the right thing. And it is a, for lack of a better word, a consumer reports type organization that will also call out organizations that are not doing the right thing.
There you go, Dale. Thank you so much for calling. Listening you are listening in today with our guest, Robin Wilson. Robin is nationally recognized eco-friendly lifestyle brand and interior designer. We've referenced her book, which I've really enjoyed looking at. It's Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. We are taking a look at eco-friendly, sustainable interior design with our guest today, Robin Wilson. She's done many things, a couple of books out. The book that I have is Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Marianne in St. Charles, Illinois. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Larry. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
I was just wondering about the efficacy of getting your air ducts cleaned in the house. Does that help with the, you know, the dust that you see and allergies and all that?
Well, that's a great question. I actually had that done at my home. I did notice a slight difference. But what I learned from the technician, who maybe he was too young on the job and didn't know what he should not say, but his comment to me was, change your air filters more frequently. He said, if you do that, the ducts are going to push out dust anyway. If there are more modern ducts, they're going to push the dust toward the filter. And he said, change your filters. If you've got a heavy dust load in your community, do it every 2 weeks. If you don't, then at least once a month. So he in effect put his company out of business because I've never called them since.
Do you mean air, furnace filters?
It's if you have central forced air or forced heat, you have it's not a furnace. It's your like your air conditioning duct. And in the South, for example, you have your air and your heat source in the same unit. There's filters. There's an air filter. And I recommend, as he said, every 2 weeks, if there's a lot of allergens, every month. And certainly some people, jokingly, I say it's like the dryer filter. Some people are like, oh, I have an air filter. you know, and you pull the dryer filter out and it's full of lint. That you need to change it every month, especially if you have allergies.
All right, Marianne, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Again, you can join us 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. I found it interesting. I was thinking about furniture. You have a section on asthma-friendly furniture, and talk a little about that.
Well, there's an organization called the Sustainable Furnishings Council. I would like to refer anyone to their organization. They've actually got several companies that have made commitments to not using certain chemicals that are toxic. And so I won't name those chemicals. Don't want to, you know, blanket.
Put the thought in the head.
Attack someone. But I'll say this much. Most people think that you die in a fire because the fire got you. What most people don't realize is that there's a movie out that's about fire and furniture. And sometimes the chemicals that are sprayed onto furniture, the smoke from those things will actually overpower you before the flames. And so what we need to know is what is on our furniture so that we are not in a situation where you only have 8 seconds to escape, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Whoa.
And I also say this, and this is going to gross every parent out, but please, please listen to me on this. Those cheap commercials, sometimes where you're like, oh, you can get a whole crib set for, you know, $200, including the crib mattress. Be careful, because those mattresses are sometimes mass produced, sometimes in this country, sometimes not. And they will have a chemical, which they will call some funny name. But in essence, it's boric acid. Boric acid is also known as roach killer. And think about your baby on a crib, on their little mattress, breathing as fast as they do. And that's one of the chemicals on their mattress. So I recommend that you really know what kind of mattress is in your baby crib, because that, again, is another, we don't know if that hurts babies over long term. We don't know what that does. So make sure that your cribs, your mattress, are all eco-friendly.
Yeah. And is there a major cost difference? Are you paying a lot more for these kinds of products?
Maybe 10 years ago. Today, because of supply and demand, you might see a $60 to $200 difference, but your health is priceless.
Yeah, if you want to think about it that way, it definitely would. Well, let's talk about some different rooms in the house. The kitchen was one. You know, we did it was probably 8 years ago now, a major remodel of this house and tried to, you know, took out the whatever linoleum or whatever and discovered this nice hardwood underneath, which was great. And in the kitchen, the hardwood was just not recoverable. So so we wound up having to put flooring in there, and we chose to put cork flooring in there. And I really like it, to be honest. And I think you talk about cork in your book as a flooring material.
I'm actually smiling. You are one of the few people I know who understands cork is a wonderful, wonderful option for your floors. And it's made, it's pulled from trees that are not cut down. They just cut the bark off. And so it's a sustainable product because the cork trees grow more bark. And many chefs actually have cork flooring in their personal kitchens because they're standing for such a long time and it's got resiliency. And, you know, it's, I believe, and you might tell me I'm wrong, but I think it's pretty easy to clean as well. You just sort of vacuum a bit on it.
Yeah, and it's also just easy to stand on. That was the mm-hmm. one the thing, because you're in the kitchen a lot.
One of the things that I tell people is I know that we all like different materials, whether it's porcelain tile, whether it's hardwood floors, whether it is cork, or even linoleum, which is now called marmoleum. And that's linseed oil and other non-toxic chemicals. I'm not talking about the vinyl version. I'm talking about the original linoleum. And yeah. It's, again, called marmoleum. One of the things that we have to just think about is what is the best product for our lifestyle, number one. Number two, is it easily cleaned, and will you clean it frequently? So if you're not, if you have carpet, for example, I don't recommend the petroleum-based carpet because, again, you close your house up, you don't open the windows, there are off-gassing fumes, and you need to make sure that you, even if you spend a little bit extra on the wool or the Berber version with a, you know, a non-toxic back, I think that's a better solution if you do carpet. If you do recognize that you've just got to keep it clean and get the dust to a minimum in your home. And there's no, there are people that say, well, I don't want any dust in my home. And I jokingly say, well, every day your skin is sloughing off skin cells. That's dust. You draw, you lose some hair, 100 strands a day, let's say. That's contributing to dust, and your clothing has, you know, lint on it, and on and on. And so I say there's no way to have zero dust unless you're in a clean room. And so if you have one of those electric vacuums that you put it on a program and it just runs across your floor every day when you're at work, or as we all know, we're working from home right now during COVID, just have that thing running in the living room and you just cleaned your floor. And you are working during the day. There's a lot of different solutions you can use to make your life easier.
Yeah. Robin Wilson, our guest today, it's great to have her with us to talk about eco-friendly design. Her book that I've referenced is, because I like it a lot, is Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. Join in with your own questions or comments about your home. What changes in your home maybe have helped you with allergies or asthma? Do you have questions about eco-friendly building materials? What do you want to know about clean design? Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. I want to go back to the kitchen again. I look at my stainless steel sink, and I'm thinking, well, we're keeping that pretty clean. What about sinks and faucets and so forth in terms of eco-friendliness?
Well, a stainless steel sink is great. Porcelain sinks can be great as long as they are not cracked. And your faucet, make sure that the gasket on the faucet is not leaking water, which could cause a mold issue underneath that gasket. Finally, I think in a kitchen, your countertops. Try to select, if you are in the mood to do a new countertop, try to select an antimicrobial or antibacterial countertop. While we all love natural stone, those items do need to be sealed on a regular basis. Some people like concrete. You're going to see natural fissures in there, and you do need to seal them. Quartzite and other options that are non-toxic, antibacterial, antimicrobial might be better for you. But the old-fashioned wood countertops, I try to stay away from those just because, again, you cut something, there's a cut in the wood, and, you know, there could be some bacteria in that cut on your wood countertop surface.
Let's take another call. Linda in Heartland, on to you now. Hi, Linda. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Hi, I'm just wondering about air purifiers and what the author thinks about, you know, putting them in a home, what brands are good, and how many do you actually need, especially with pets in the house?
Oh, goodness. So I can't endorse a brand, but I will tell you, I have four of them in my house. I have a very large one for my living area, my living room area. I have one for each bedroom. And it's a nice white noise in the middle of the night. But B, I do change the filters as frequently as recommended. So if they say every 45 days, I'll do it every 30 days. I think that air purifiers add some value. But again, with a pet in the house, how do I say this? Your pet is his own ecosystem or her own ecosystem. So there's no real way to keep that air perfectly clean if they are indoor and outdoor pets. And if they're fully indoor pets, you still need to air out your space because animals do have dander.
Yeah, but the purifiers may provide some help, you're saying.
Some help. Again, clean is not an air purifier. Air purifiers simply clean the air a bit. And you need to, when you buy one, if you have a large room, get the larger one. But if you're spending, and I'm going to throw this out to you, there are a lot of charlatans, and I'm going to use that term, who want to charge thousands of dollars for air purifiers. You do not need to pay thousands of dollars for air purifiers. You need to pay hundreds of dollars, perhaps, and you need to have one that allows you to change the air filter on a regular basis.
All right, Linda, there you go. Thank you so much. John in Bruce, Wisconsin, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Okay, you're talking about the clean air in a house and was wondering about, she just mentioned the air purifiers. That was one of my questions. What I was specifically referring to was an ultraviolet light, which would go in the furnace and treat the air as it goes through the furnace. The other thing is, how about an air-to-air heat exchanger, which exhausts stale air from the house and brings fresh air in from outside and recaptures some of the heat from the exhausted air? And then the other thing would be a high-efficiency mechanical air cleaner that would go right on the furnace, which is far superior to your little pleated and fiberglass filters. Just those questions.
Wow, those are good questions. The first one, I don't have any expertise in. The second, I actually have an air-to-air fan, filter fan, that when my furnace goes on, it goes on and allows air to come, fresh air to come into the space and circulate. I do think that's important. And it also is important from a carbon monoxide situation, preventing that. I have heard that you can do a filter on certain furnaces. I believe it's more modern furnaces. But if you have a house like mine from the 1930s and probably the furnace is, I would say from the 70s or 80s, a monoflow system, I don't know that you can put a filter on that because it's steam. I am not an expert on that, but I will tell you, speak to your local air person and also, again, consult with the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. They do have experts in most of the trades, and they might be able to answer your question.
All right. Thank you, John. Jim in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, you were talking about cork flooring and use in a kitchen. I have had cork floor in my kitchen for at least the last 10 years now. And I really do like it for its comfort and its feel. However, I would caution that because Clark is a wood product, that the avoidance of getting it wet would be advisable. They do put a sealant on it when it's initially installed, but then I don't, I think that perhaps that sealant may need to be reapplied over the course of time to help avoid any sort of moisture getting in between the seams of the cork pieces, the tiles. Otherwise, they have a tendency to shrink up and separate.
That is great feedback. And just like you would have your regular hardwood floors, every several years, you need to put a protective coating on that. So I would recommend that you do your cork flooring at the same time.
Yeah, and mine is not a tile. Mine was kind of laid down as I can't see any seams at all in my floor, so I'm not sure how they did that. But at least there aren't cracks or places where it could sink in, as far as I can see. I'm going to have to get in there with a magnifying glass and look and see. Jim, thank you.
Great feedback.
Thank you, yeah, for calling. Renata in Lake Mill, your turn. Hi.
Yes, this is Renata. I was calling with a comment about in the 70s and 80s, there was a common insulation that was blown into homes, that white foam insulation, and they'd drill little holes all over on the outside and then pump that in, and it would dry into this solid mass of like a white, almost look like styrofoam in a way after it dried. And then I had read in the past about there would be off-gassing with that, and that would make people, have like sick building syndrome from that. And I wondered if the guest knows anything, does that ever stop in terms of its, like, I would call it like a toxic type effect of it, because I've even read about people having it cut out of their homes and then re-insulating with something else. And some people might have it in their homes and not know it, and maybe that could be some type of like allergy trigger as well. I'll take my answer off the air, but thank you so much for having the program today.
Yeah, thanks, Renata. Appreciate it. Well, Robin, what do you think?
Well, I have heard about this. I will say in the 70s, I was a little kid, so I don't know. But I will tell you that about 15 years ago, there was a big movement to do soy insulation. And it goes into your walls in a liquid form and then expands. So it is a more of a solid, and that might be the styrofoam she's referring to. There are two different types of soy insulation, one which is toxic and one which is non-toxic. And there have been studies about that. I can't comment on which is which, but I will say this. If you do some simple research and you say the Google keyword would be two types of soy insulation for your house or residential soy insulation, there's two types. And the type that is non-toxic is the one that you want, and the other you do not want. And there's a cost differential between those two. And please do your research before you have that. It's not the kind that's blown into your house. It's actually a liquid initially when it goes in, and then it hardens. So please do that research. As far as the insulation that I think she's speaking of, I can't comment. I know nothing about it. I only know what in the last 15 years with soy insulation, that has been a very wonderful product if you have the right one, because it takes, it closes up all those little holes that you can't really see in your house, like around the plug plates and things like that, and it can be more energy efficient. But I will say this, any home can become a sick building if you don't allow natural air to come in. Indoor air quality can be 6 to 8 times worse than outdoor air quality. So I recommend at least once a week for 15 minutes, open a window in your house and let some fresh air in.
And it's sometimes hard to do in Wisconsin winters when it's very, very cold, but it feels kind of good.
Do it 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day for a week. But one other thing, let me say this. We're working at home, and many of us have our home offices, and we don't think about the laser printer that probably has off-gassing or other office machines that may have off-gassing, please at least once a week for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, just open the window, let some of that, you know, laser printer dust and gunk get out of your house. Those are things we don't think about, and we are working from home more frequently.
Yeah, we certainly are. I'm sitting here looking at three different computer screens and all the rest of it for my home office. And I actually had that up to bring up to ask you a question about was the home office and making sure that you what you need to do. And I think once the show's over, I'm probably going to open a window.
Yes. And what you're going to also see, if you do lift up any electronics in your home office or even your stereo, if you have an old-fashioned stereo in your living room, which I do, if you lift it up, those electronics actually attract dust. And so you do need to clean under those appliances or around those appliances to make sure that you're not, you know, you don't just have a dust corner, for lack of a better word.
You know, you are very successful. You've had a great career, and you've got a very successful business right now. You experience a number of roadblocks just getting going.
Well, you know, as I say to all entrepreneurs, it's not easy, and you are absolutely have to say, I'm going to pay everybody else, and sometimes I'm not going to pay myself, and still maintain that enthusiasm when you do your job. One of the things that I know as a woman is there have been so many people who sort of raise their hand to help you with advice. But when it comes to funding or seed capital or maybe even, you know, getting VC or private equity, I think that there were barriers systemically to people seeing it as a business and not a hobby. And I hope that as we see more and more people recognize that we're serious entrepreneurs, and especially as people begin to work from home, I see more and more entrepreneurial ideas coming to root. And I think people will need to be able to get funding for those things so they can chase their dream.
Yeah. Well, Robin, it's been a great pleasure talking with you today. I appreciate it very much. I hope we have a chance to do this again. And I really like your book, Clean Design. It's,
I appreciate that. And I hope people will go to our website, robinwilsonhome.com, and purchase our towels and comforters and sheets. And we have a new brand that we're going to be introducing next year, and it's going to have weighted blankets and all sorts of great things for those hard winters that you'll experience in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Robin Wilson, the book we were talking about is Clean Design, Wellness for Your Lifestyle. And great talking with her today about some of the problem areas that you might have in your home. I have a few in my own, and I'm taking some of her advice, including opening the window once the show is over. Not right now, though, because right now we're going to turn our attention to what is going on outside the window here in Wisconsin. Our next guest will be talking about Our Wisconsin Magazine and all the great stories that are going on in the outdoors and some of them in the indoors, too. Oh, man. Mike Bino coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.